This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Apchi and Janine Etter. Our theme music was composed and produced for FSRN by Alan Weatherhead. Our Washington, D.C. intern is James Helmsworth. Thanks for listening today in Los Angeles. I'm Dorian Marina.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Q Center Winter Gala, Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice will be held at Castaway Portland, 1900 Northwest 18th Avenue, on Saturday, January 26th. The VIP party begins at 6 p.m. and general admission is at 7. Entertainment includes a performance by two-time Grammy Award winner Matt Albert and much more. Information about the Q Center Winter Gala can be found at kboo.fm/2013 Fire and Ice. KBOO Community.
Hi, this is Per Fogring, host of Fight the Empire. Thursday, I'll be talking with film director Oliver Stone and historian Peter Kuznick. Together, they have produced a 10-part television series and a 700-page book called The Untold History of the United States. That's Thursday, January 17th at 9:30 a.m. A talk with Oliver Stone and Peter Kuznick on KBOO, your radio station.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New mobile applications available for iPhone and Android. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
Annie. Welcome to Out Loud, KBOO's Queer Culture Radio Show. My name is Rebecca. On tonight's show, we are pleased to see Laura Calvo back in the KBOO studios. Laura is here tonight to talk about her historic election to the Democratic National Committee. Also on the show tonight, we welcome back singer and songwriter Annie Vernetti, who is in the studio tonight with Kari Newhouse to play a few songs and talk about their show on Thursday night. So stay tuned, folks. We have a great hour of Queer Culture Radio ahead. Annie Vernetti is a local queer troubadour playing about town. You can catch her at her usual haunts like Jade Lounge, Elixir Lab, and The Verdict. She will be joining Namoli Brennett and Kari Newhouse at the TARDIS Room this Thursday. Annie is known for her unique style of music improv, where the audience throws out three words and she performs what's called an insta-song. She will be showing off those skills this Friday at Curious Comedy Club during the 10 p.m. performance of the Improv Cage Match. You can check out her About section on her Facebook page, where all her upcoming shows are listed. Annie, thank you for joining me on Out Loud tonight.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Annie, can you talk more about what makes your music unique?
Well, in the sense of the improv, it's a, if we have time, maybe we'll do it here, but I get the audience to just throw out a couple words, and we just go right into a story and take them for a little ride and have a little fun, and I don't know, it's a good time.
And Annie, I consider you a friend of Out Loud because you've been here several
times. Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about the show that you have coming up with Kari, who we're going to be speaking with in a few minutes about the show on Thursday night.
It's at the TARDIS Room, which is inside the Fish and Chip Company off of Killingsworth. I don't know if people like Doctor Who. The whole room's kind of outfitted with Doctor Who stuff everywhere. It's a lot of fun in there. And Nomalee Brennett's coming into town. I think this is her, 10th album? She's having a CD release party for it. And one of my favorite musicians, actually, that tours. And so I'm very excited to be a part of it.
How did you become part of this, essentially?
I think I saw Nomalee actually play in Arizona the first time a long time ago, around Christmas. And then she kept coming into town, and I kept going, and just through connections has turned into opening up for her and become friends, and, you know.
And Kari, who's sitting across from me here, how do you two know each other?
Through the same thing, just music world. You run into each other.
And I'm sure she'll say something completely different.
You'll probably have some memory that I'll be like, no, that never happened, man.
Well, before we go ahead and... And talk with Kari. Let's go ahead and hear a song. Annie is going to go ahead and play a song for us here live in the studio tonight. Annie, what are we going to hear?
This one's called Fairy Tale. It's pretty new. I usually write sad breakup songs, so I've been trying to veer out of that because I think it's just good for my psyche and yours. So this one is not sad.
This one's happy. It's called Fairy Tale. Ladies and gentlemen, Annie Vernetti.
I will stop chasing you eventually, but turn the horse to the stable eventually. Gonna take off my white armor, get back to the castle, and rest by the fire now. Such a bad plan, baby. Rest by the fire now. Such a bad plan, baby. 'Cause you were made for me. We're gonna stop slaying those dragons eventually. We're gonna stop kissing you while you sleep. 'Cause baby, I'm just a frog through and through and underneath. Gonna rip up all the flowers now. Such a bad plan, baby. Rip up all the flowers now. Such a bad plan, baby. 'Cause what would I give you when you finally woke and saw all you were made for me? Yeah, you're gonna start chasing me back eventually. Swim yourself right through that boat eventually. Wrap those knuckles on a castle door, yeah. Come on in. Rest by the fire now. Such a good plan, baby. Take off all your armor now. Such a good plan, baby. 'Cause you were made for me. You rest by the fire. Take off all your armor. Come on over here and kiss this frog. I do conspire to make this fairy tale. Let's make this fairy tale come real. Yeah, rest by the fire, take off all our armor. Come on over here and kiss this frog. I do conspire. Let's make this fairy tale real. 'Cause I was made for you and you were made for me.
Bravo, bravo. That is Annie Varinetti. The name of that song is again...
Fairy Tale.
Fairy Tale. Wonderful. Also joining me in the studio tonight is singer-songwriter Kari Newhouse. Kari has been playing gigs since the age of 16. Her performances have included outdoor festivals to the clubs of Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Her live shows electrify the intimacy that her recordings have always possessed. Always having a fascination with all aspects of recording and production, in 2012, Newhouse solely wrote, performed, and recorded her latest album, Songs, from Apartment 4, in her studio here in Portland, Oregon. Kari's music is a blend of sophisticated pop, ethereal atmospheric rock, with poetic, insightful lyrics that won't leave you anytime soon. Kari also performs on Namoli's new CD track, The Good Life, when we're going to hear a couple of songs later in the show. Kari, thank you for joining us tonight here on Out Loud.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, Kari, you've been you recorded your album in your apartment home studio here in Portland. You know, that seems to be becoming more and more common nowadays with all the technology that we have. You want to go ahead and talk about that experience and why you chose that setting?
Well, I've always been fascinated with recording. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my dad had a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And I started playing with that. And then he had a tape player, and I would like go back and forth between them and started multi-tracking. So I've been fascinated with recording, truly, like the whole recording process, you know, since I was a little girl. I've been in a lot of big studios, but I decided to keep it really intimate and do the recording and play all the instruments myself on this last album. And it literally is like in a little bedroom in the apartment that I lived in, apartment 4, and a lot of rainy nights in Portland, and just getting really into the Pro Tools gear and, you know, all the little parts and intricacies of that. And then finally having a friend of mine, Dean Kateri, mix it and released it. And it's I'm really proud of it. You know, it's
nice. So how did you meet Namoli?
I have a similar story. I am a huge fan of Namoli Brennett. I was perusing iTunes. And back in maybe 2004, 2005, and ran across one of her songs called Ghost. And I was so blown away. I normally don't do the whole fan stalker kind of thing, but I wrote her website. And I just said, this song is amazing. And I'm another musician, and I just wanted to, you know, give you a nod and let you know that I just love this song, and you're amazing. So when she came to Portland to play when I had moved up here, I met Annie. And the funny thing is, I don't really remember exactly how we met Annie, but we run into each other all the time, like random shows, you know, a get together, a bar, you know, you'll pop out and scare me in an alley when I'm walking down the street. You know, it's funny how often I run into her. And I also really do love Annie's music as well. And so this is the first time the three of us are on a bill together. Annie's warmed up for Namoli before. I've played with Namoli before.
But the three of you have not done this together. Again, to remind listeners, that show is happening this Thursday night, January 17th, at the TARDIS Room, which is located at 1214 North Killingsworth Street. The show starts at 7 p.m. I'd like to talk with both of you about maybe some of the other shows that both of you have upcoming. But first, I'd like to hear a song. Let's hear a song from you, Kari.
Okay.
What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song off of the new album, off Songs from Apartment 4. This one's called Sun.
Okay, wonderful.
I was dreaming of it the whole time I wrote it.
All right, let's go ahead and hear this now. Kari Newhouse, everybody.
I'm sorry.
Healing begun, healing begun. Something is said and needed. Wonderful sun, wonderful sun. Inside my sunshine.
Was Kari Newhouse. Kari, what the name was? What was the name of that song again?
Sun.
Sun. That was Sun. You are listening to Out Loud, KBOO's Queer Culture Radio Show. My name is Rebecca. In the studio tonight with me is Annie Vernetti and Kari Newhouse. Both are going to be performing on Thursday night at the TARDIS Room at 1214 North Killingsworth Street. The show starts at 7 p.m. A little bit later in the show tonight, we're going to be speaking with Laura Calvo, the first transgender woman elected to the Democratic National Committee. So we'll be looking forward to that in about 10 minutes. Well, ladies, well, I have both of you in the room, actually both of you on live mic for the first time together tonight.
Dangerous.
Annie, let's talk first about some of the shows. So you're both going to be performing together on Thursday. What about some of the other shows you have coming up, Annie?
Oh, you mentioned earlier Friday, actually doing the other thing I do is the improv at the Curious Comedy Club off of Alberta and MLK. Mm-hmm. It's their late night show, improv cage match. Two teams go at it, improving from the audience, and I'll be entertaining the crowd as the audience judges them. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then I think I have Jade Lounge coming up beginning of February. I want to say February 4th. And then Someday Lounge, I'm excited for a show with Kiss Kill and Shannon Tower Band. I think that's on February 8th. And then February 14th is a big show with the Volva Underground. It's a
Single Awareness Day. other people call that a different holiday.
Yes, Single Awareness Day. People are very aware. I'm usually single on that day. This year, I luckily am not. But nice. Yeah, Volva Underground is a group of women musicians in town that are kind of taken over. I have to get Kari on board with us.
Definitely.
She hasn't done a show yet, but we've done a lot of cover nights, and that night is Women in Country cover night.
Oh, fun.
And that's at Mississippi Pizza, and it's going to be, if they have tickets, get them beforehand because it'll sell out. Last one we did was Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, and they both were fantastic. So that's what I got coming up.
And Kari, what's going on for you after Thursday?
Wow, I can't compete with that. Jeez.
You're like, on board.
And in 2014, I'm going to be
it is a competition. I'm keeping score tonight.
I know. I'm going to mention my one little show I have coming up. Well, besides this one on Thursday, which I'm super excited about, I'm playing Jimmy Max on February 5th for kind of a Partners in Jazz series. They typically don't have indie rock or pop artists there, but they're kind of slowly introducing an artist to their normally jazz audience, I suppose. And so I'm playing during a happy hour slot from 6:30 to 7:30 on February 5th at Jimmy Max downtown.
What kind of crowds do, as far as the shows that both of you perform at, what kind of crowds do you usually draw to these shows generally?
For me, it's a little bit of everything. Yeah. It's pretty diverse. Luckily at Jade, they do all ages shows there. Uh-huh. So a lot of my friends at Kids will come to that, which is a lot of fun when you have kids jumping around to sad songs. And you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, it's always diverse. I always get shocked when it's like the guy in the back is really quiet in his 50s, happily married, and he's just like crying at your songs and just wants to buy you drinks and hang out and be your buddy. It's always the random person you never think is going to love it, and they do. And you're like, all right, I'm doing it right.
I just had that happen at one of my last shows. I could see this guy. He maybe was about 60 years old, and he was sitting by himself, and I could tell he was really, really into the show. Every dumb joke I would say, he'd be laughing too loud, and he was listening really intently. And I got an email on my website, and I guarantee you it was him, but it was just nice. And he was just like, I really, really enjoyed your set. And I guess the type of people typically I attract are, the real, the singer-songwriter kind of lovers, like real lyric and music lovers, people that really want to go and listen to music, not have it be background music, all ages, which makes me really happy when a 15-year-old buys my album as well as somebody who is in their, 60s or older. I love that,
So as far as any touring or travel plans, do either of you have anything kind of floating around in the back of your mind?
Not right now. Just got back from Vegas, but it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But not right now. Wintertime's a little bit lay low, trying to write songs. Yeah.
I may go down to Los Angeles. I'm from there. I moved up here from Los Angeles, and I will still go back and play some of my old haunts down there and still have a fan base. So,
how long have both of you been in Portland and been playing in the music scene here, starting with Annie?
2001 I moved here, and I think I jumped in within a couple months. It's been a while.
I've been here 5 years, and same thing. I had about 3 gigs the first month I was here. I was so excited to play. I always think that Portland is just an amazing town that nurtures its artists, you know, for sure.
Phenomenal here.
Okay, Annie, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
So we have a few minutes to play with here. So you know what? Yeah, I bet you can guess what I'm going to ask here. That I'm very intrigued by this improv
it's good.
Thing that you do.
It's
so,
real good.
And so I guess I'm gonna pick on both of you. I'm gonna equally put
you
on the spot.
You want to help me?
Yes,
maybe.
Kari, yeah. Can you come up with is it three terms or words?
We should do it from three words. Maybe we'll try to.
Okay.
So
I don't want to stump you, but
Go ahead. I usually have whiskey in my hand for this, so yeah. This will be a challenge.
How about I give you one
freshly
of
freshly sober?
Yeah, one
give
of the
one
three. Radio.
Radio.
Right. Books. And lizard.
Books and lizard and radio.
Books, lizard, and radio. Come, give me a song.
Laura, anything from you?
Turkey.
Turkey.
Turkey. Books. Laura says turkey.
Books, radio, and lizard, huh? Kari, I'm going to need some help.
Listen to the KBOO on Tuesday night. It was the out loud episode of my life. They gave me three words, well, maybe four. And I wasn't sure what to do with it. And I remember when I was younger. I remember when I was younger. I remember when I was younger, yeah. All I wanted was encyclopedias, yeah. Books. All these books on lizards that I can learn with. Snakes and anything reptile, yeah. I was a weird one, I didn't have many friends. Yeah, they called me the lizard lady of Florida, yeah. This is a lot harder without whiskey, I gotta say, but it's fun, you know I love my radio, especially community radio, KBOO radio. It's not pledge drive, but what the hell, call up and give some money, please. And I'm so excited to be playing Thursday night with Kari and Anomaly down at the TARDIS room. Come and see us. And give me your three words too, and I will tell you all about what I learned when I was young. And they called me the lizard lady. I will tell you about the snakes and all the reptiles you want to know. Even iguanas, yes, I learned about them too. And it's 2013, let's shed our skin. Let's become new, let's begin again. And remember to read your books. And listen to your community radio. Get off that Facebook, please. Read a real book, yeah. With papers and not on your Kindle, please. It's the future right there. Reading real books. And listening to live radio, yeah. So please come down Thursday night. It's gonna be alright, we're gonna have a good time in the TARDIS room, Kari and me, Anomaly. Do, do, do. You got anything, Kari, help me out here.
Kari, Anomaly,
and Kari, Annie.
Anomaly.
I love that our three names so easily rhyme, yeah. Kari and Annie, Anomaly.
Kari and Annie, Anomaly. And books.
Yay! That was fantastic. Oh, Annie Vernetti, everybody. The highly talented, highly creative Annie Vernetti. That was amazing. That's sober even.
Yeah. Wait, yes. There's whiskey involved. Wow.
You know, sober or not, I don't think I could do that. Even if I knew how to play guitar.
Drinking, but...
So,
yeah,
welcome back, right. Everybody, to Out Loud Radio. You just heard Annie Vernetti. My name is Rebecca. In a few minutes here, we're going to hear from Laura Calvo, who just made history recently here in Oregon and just period. And we're very proud of that. Any closing words, ladies? Obviously, there's a show Thursday night, I believe, right?
There is.
Is there?
Yeah.
There's a show.
It's probably the biggest show around.
Oh, the biggest show on Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wait, we can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Say
medium-sized show on Earth.
I go by stores all the time where it says, the world's famous coffee, world famous bread. I'm like, who made it world famous?
Yeah. I guess that's
a world famous show on Thursday.
I guess that saying
stamping
isn't
it.
Trademarked yet. Yes. Well, ladies, thank you for coming in tonight, and we look forward to hearing you at the. Let's one more time. We've got it at the TARDIS Room, which is located at 1214 North Killingsworth Street. The show starts at 7 p.m. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to go ahead and transition here. And we're going to go ahead and take a break before we move on to other things here, before we talk to Laura Calvo. The name of the song that we're going to hear from Namoli Brennett, who's also performing on Thursday night, the name of the song is The Good Life. And you'll also hear Kari Newhouse in this.
One, two. Troubles I would leave them be. Say, ooh, ooh, what a good life we had. Ooh, ooh, what a good life, what a good dream it is. What a good life. If I had a heavy burden, if I had burdens, I would lay them down and say, ooh, ooh, what a good life we have. Ooh, ooh, what a good life, what a good dream it is. What a good life. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Welcome back to Out Loud, KBOO's Queer Culture Radio Show. That was Namoli Brennett. The song was called The Good Life. You also heard Kari Newhouse in that song, who we spoke with earlier and heard from earlier in the show. Joining me now in the studio is Laura Calvo. Laura is a former KBOO volunteer. Many of you may remember her as an Out Loud producer and host. Since her KBOO days, Laura has remained politically active. She has worked closely with Basic Rights Oregon and other organizations on behalf of the queer community. She has held multiple positions within the Democratic Party at all levels, and now she is the first transgender woman to be elected to the Democratic National Committee. Welcome back to Out Loud, Laura.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it really is good to have you back. Talk about, with Annie being a friend of the show, certainly you as well.
Oh, I love the show. Annie and Kari were just wonderful. We were just talking at the break about how great it was just to be here and have the live music and be back on live radio.
And just this wonderful music that we just heard. And that hilarious impromptu song just totally set the mood. So,
well, Annie didn't use my word, but that's okay.
Lord.
I need to apologize.
I was going to say turkey baster, but I didn't want it.
Turkey baster Thursday.
Okay.
On stage.
Yeah. So let's start off by talking about the historical significance, Laura, of your election to the DNC. When a ceiling like this is broken, what kind of message does it send to the transgender community and really the community at large?
Well, I think the message that it sends is that anybody who knows me, if I can do it, anybody can do this. I mean, I am not a very special person. I just am pretty much single-minded. Single-mindedness, when I get my idea around something and I get involved with something, I devote a lot of time to it, and I just keep following it and following it and following it and just hang on. And eventually, people take notice. And I'm not a yeller or a screamer. I'm not a crazy person. I'm just me. And I think the message that it sends to the transgender community hopefully is one of hope, that there is, people can and are able to do things that they might not ordinarily think they would. Especially, I hope that it elevates, or it helps give a little more hope to the folks that are really struggling, which is a large amount of our community.
It is. Well, and it's interesting because we're also talking about but apparently Namoli Brennett is transgender as well, which with that beautiful voice, it immediately makes me jealous. But, talking about transgender people doing great things, there's another great example right there. And now getting back to you, Laura, I can't imagine this was just handed to you on a silver platter. I'm imagining that your election to the DNC was likely a journey. Where did this journey start?
Well, I guess it started like anything else. You find out something, or something happens in your life that it's a significant emotional event, and that kind of sparks a fire, and that fire just spreads across, and finally you wind up getting to a place where hopefully that drives you. For me, it was job discrimination. I was basically told I was a freak and they didn't want me back and it wasn't good for anything. And that was back in 1995. And, I was an exemplary employee. I was working at a sheriff's office as a police officer. I was deputy of the year just 6-7 months before that. And then all of a sudden, wham, you're no good. Get out of here. And turned my life upside down, and you can deal with that in a couple of different ways. You can wallow in depression and alcoholism and drug abuse or other negative self-harming things, which I gotta say, it's not hard to fall into that.
It's really not
when you're slapped down like that. And then, to get that boot off of your neck requires a little bit of anger, I guess, or, just feeling like damn it, you're not going to do this to me. I'm going to find a way to get back. And there's some destructive ways and there's positive ways to do it. And I guess one of the positive ways is through political activism, through working for charitable organizations, from just getting out there and being yourself, your authentic self, and living your life honestly. And I think people respect that in the long run. My hate mail has gone up a little bit in the last couple of weeks since this news has gone out. I'm so heartfelt and want to thank all those folks for having so much concern for me that they want to cure me, or they want to make sure that I know that I'm a sick person and that I should seek some help for this.
Maybe they just believe they're showing love. You know,
it's gratifying, even more gratifying, and even more positive. And I think the bigger message here is that the ratio of people who have gone out of their way, not just my friends who say, "Hey, yeah, way to go, girl," but just those folks that go out of their way to say congratulations or offer a kind word, or even a guitar chord, those people far outnumber the people who seem to be concerned about my illness for some reason.
Oh yeah, no, I take pride in my illness, just quite personally. Getting back to you were fired from your job in the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. Who did you reach out to kind of deal with that? And how did that lead to, let's say, getting involved with the Democratic Party?
Well, in 1995, there wasn't anywhere to reach out to. That was the whole point.
This was in where was this at?
This was in Southern Oregon. This was the mid-90s, in the midst of all the Oregon Citizens Alliance referendums and ballot measures and anti-gay type stuff. There was no laws involved with anti-discrimination. It was perfectly legal to be fired under those conditions. And, down the road I got involved with politics and fairly heavily in 2004, with the No on 36 campaign. Once again, there was, our Constitution here in Oregon is enshrined with discrimination for same-sex couples to get married. There's just absolutely no reason why two people shouldn't enjoy the same rights and benefits of any other two people that are allowed to the same thing. It's just not fair. And I think a lot of people, the times have changed, and we've seen a groundswell of people changing in public polls and opinions. And now we have, recently our neighbors to the north in Washington, Maryland, and Maine have all gone there, allowed same-sex marriages now. Illinois is talking about it. So we're, I think altogether there's 11 states now that allow that. And, that was in 2004, after that was enshrined in our Constitution here in Oregon, that just really kind of upped my fire in my belly a little bit more, and I reached out and started looking for other ways that I could get involved. And one of the main things that I saw that really needed to happen was that we needed to reach out to the people who pull the levers, who make the decisions, the decision makers in the room. And I had to find a way to be in that room when the decisions are being made. And I looked at the various ways that I could do that constructively. And I'm not much of a person to go out and hoist a sign above my head and chant and march in parades and that sort of thing. I'm a little more quiet about my work. And so I really thought that the Democratic Party was an opportunity for them to see my face, to see what I can do to get to know me, and more importantly, to have access and kind of influence those people in the room that are making the decisions. And that's really what started the journey.
What was your very first position within the Democratic Party?
Oh, wow. I think the most the first time that I really held any kind of position is I was a delegate to the Platform Convention in 2006. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time, it was the first opportunity after 2004, because they do their platforms every 2 years, the Democratic Party does. And it was the first time that I had gone to a platform convention. This is, the platform is a document that basically lines out all the beliefs of what Democrats stand for, what they want to see happen. It's their vision and it's marching orders for the next 2 years.
So were you able to influence any of the items
that
showed up on
that
platform?
That's what I'm getting to. There was a group of people who felt had similar ideas to mine, who had gotten involved with the Democratic Party, and there was an LGBT caucus or a group within the Democratic Party of Oregon, which was a very new thing. There wasn't a whole lot of states that had Democratic Party caucuses or groups with LGBT groups in them. And one of the groups, caucuses' main focus in the 2006 platform convention was to author and get it passed an anti-discrimination plank on the platform, and also a marriage relationship thing. And I forget the language about it back then, but I remember the arguments or the conversations and the work groups leading up to that. And most of the positive, it was very positive. There wasn't anybody saying there, oh, you don't deserve rights, or no, we don't want to do this. It was really positive. And the most positive and most, the most vocal people, the ones that were really stomping their feet and getting worked up about it, were straight folks. And I kind of took, I looked at this and I thought, ah, that's kind of interesting. And when it came time to pass the platform, they go plank, by resolution, there was over 400 people in the room voting on this together. And, you know, and they go line by line. And the way they do things at this platform convention, if you're opposed to it, if you want to oppose the platform resolution or the platform itself, people will line up on the right side of the room and then the people who are for it will line up on the left side of the room. And some of these get really contentious, and depending on, you can see how contentious it is by the length of the line of people that want to speak pro and con to the platform plank. And when it came time for the non-discrimination plank, which was gender identity inclusive, and to the same-sex marriage plank, there was nobody there's nobody on the right side of the room willing to speak against it. So none of the people pro got to speak because they take turns. So I thought, well, that's kind of weird. I wonder what's going to happen during the vote. And it's by voice vote. And in the House, I had been listening to the folks, you know, giving their yays and nays with each voice vote. It was 10 times louder, the ayes in that room. The whole room just, it was a big roar of ayes. And I got a little tingle down my spine, you know, the back of your neck, how that happens. It's like, whoa, that was kind of cool. And then I was waiting for the nays, and you could drop a pin in that huge room and you could hear it drop. Nobody, there was no nays on it. And when the chair of the platform convention said the resolution or the platform passes, the item passes, I mean, people stood and cheered and hugged each other, and these are 400 people from around the state of Oregon. I'm not talking just about Portland. I'm talking about people from Lakeview, Oregon, from Klamath Falls, from Bend, from LaGrand, from Pendleton, from John Day, all over Oregon. And these are people that, you know, I think a lot of times when you're living in the Portland area, you kind of think anything east of 82nd and, you know, is a little red, and if you get outside of Portland to the south, that, you know, that's very conservative. But there's a lot of great people here in Oregon, and I think they way outnumber the noisy nasties.
So you've served as the treasurer for the state Democratic Party on two occasions, correct?
Yeah, it was two terms as a treasurer for the state Democratic Party,
and now. When did you find out that you were going to be on the Democratic National Committee?
Well, that was a journey in itself, because there's two ways basically to wind up on as a member of the Democratic National Committee. One is that you can be appointed, and the chair of the Democratic National Committee, which is now Congressman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she has the power to appoint a certain number of at-large people to the committee. We have two people here in Oregon that have been appointed to the Democratic National Committee. The other way to get on the Democratic National Committee is to represent Oregon is to be elected by the state party leadership. And in this case, you know, our state central committee. So the significance of that is that little Democratic Party 101, a lot of folks and anybody, any registered Democrat can run to be a precinct committee person. And basically, you're running on the May primary ballot to be a representative for your local neighborhood, for your precinct. And those people are elected from their neighborhoods to represent at the county party level, at the county party central committee. And then those folks, in turn, elect representatives to represent them at the state level. And the people at the state level then up to the national level, to the Democratic National Committee. So I had to make a decision to run, which means I had to run a campaign. And these seats are sought after. It started off to be a six-way race for three positions. And at the end of the day, it was a four-way race for three positions. And at the end of the day, I got 92% of the vote at the convention to be elected. So in that respect, it that kind of set a tingle up my spine, too, to be recognized by all of these wonderful people from all across the state that basically have, you know, been elected all the way up to be elected.
That's a long ways from those dark days getting let go from the sheriff's department. Can we say success story? Do you feel like it, for you it's been a success story so far?
So far it has been very rewarding in that respect. I mean, it's been really great. You know, when I get down and kind of discouraged about the way the things are going and the partisanship and just things in general, every few months I get together with Democrats from around the state, or I get an email from somebody or a telephone call about somebody who's charged up and ready to go on an issue that's passionate to them, and it doesn't necessarily need to be an LGBT issue. I talked today to somebody that was really fervent about the filibuster rule in the Senate and wanting to change that. And after talking to them for, you know, 5-10 minutes, I felt really good about it. You know, it's like there are people out there that I don't have to wear. I feel like there's a lot of people that really want to do a lot of great things.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because one of the things that the Democrats get criticized for, especially on this airwaves, is economic justice issues, for example. You know, the Occupy movement, the homeless, what have you. Democrats don't particularly have a rosy track record on those issues, maybe compared to Republicans, but still, I think there's a lot of folks out there that feel like the Democratic Party is beholden to corporate and special interests, which many of those interests are ironically in favor of queer rights. So as now a visibly queer representative of the Democratic Party, how do you juggle all of these things, and how do you respond to criticism of the Democratic Party from people that you would sympathize with?
Well, let me make something perfectly clear. A lot of those folks that you saw at Occupy marching and staying there in support of the Occupy, in support of the 99%, were Democrats. By and large, a lot of them were. And you kind of have to separate what happens inside D.C. and within the Congress and the Senate. And a lot of it has to do with campaign finance. That's my personal thing. But as far as economic justice is concerned, Democrats have been the ones who have been supportive of WIC and food, you know, helping people help themselves through the different programs. It was Democrats who brought about Social Security and Medicare. It's Democrats that are trying to change the Democratic president with the health care reform. I don't know if you've just tried to look up, you know, how it's going to work in 2014. I just did the calculation on the online calculator, and my health care is going to be a lot cheaper for me, and I'll be able to afford it. My mother, who's on Medicare through the new programs and that, she's now getting better care for less money. So there is some economic justice going on. It's long and slow, and part of it is the tie-up in Congress. I mean, it's the partisanship in Congress, and basically it's the intransigence of one party that just basically says no. If the president or a Democrat says that the sky is blue, they will argue no, or they will you know, put a secret hold on it so that you can't even discuss it. And that's one of the things that you know, Senator Jeff Merkley is a prime example of how the system can work and does work in the Oregon legislature. As Speaker of the House, he was just a vanguard person when it came to gay rights. As a matter of fact, when he was arguing in favor of gay rights in the Oregon legislature, when he wasn't the Speaker of the House, the current speaker, then Speaker Minnis, threatened to have him arrested for contempt of the legislature because he was arguing so forcefully for it. And now he's on the front lines with the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Our local congressmen here, Suzanne Bonamici, Earl Blumenauer, Peter DeFazio, Kurt Schrader. You know, Employment Non-Discrimination Act is a no-brainer for them. Gay marriage is a no-brainer for them. When you look at other Republicans and the right side of the aisle, it's not such a clear thought. They're starting to get the idea, and what they're starting to do is make like they're, you know, noise like they're wanting to be more friendly, like the Republicans did here with their recent platform here in Oregon. They took out some nasty words, but they still, in their platform, are believe marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's it.
Well, and one thing I hear Democrats say on a very fairly regular basis, Obama has repeated it multiple times, that they want their constituencies to be very vocal on the issues that they're passionate mm-hmm. about, and push them and empower them to be able to make the changes that their constituencies would like. Laura Calvo, thank you for joining us on Out Loud Radio tonight. Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
It was great to be here.
And Laura Calvo, the first transgender woman elected to the Democratic National Committee. You have been listening to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show. My name is Rebecca. It's been a pleasure joining you tonight. I would like to thank Laura Calvo for coming into the studio tonight to share her historic experience as the first transgender woman elected to the Democratic National Committee. Earlier in the show tonight, we heard some music from musician and songwriter Annie Vernetti and Kari Newhouse, who will be performing this Thursday, January 17th at the TARDIS Room, which is located at 1214 North Killingsworth Street. The show starts at 7 p.m. I'd also like to thank Liam, our fabulous engineer, for a fine job tonight. Those interested in contacting our production team for Out Loud, you can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. You can also find our Out Loud Radio page on Facebook. We are always looking for content suggestions, and more importantly, we are always looking for volunteers to help us produce this radio program. We're going to go ahead and go out with a song from Namoli Brennett. One day I'll get that name right, who is also performing at the TARDIS Room on Thursday night. The song is titled, I Will Get Along. Again, here is Namoli Brennett. Good night, everybody.
There will be days of sorrow yet to be endured.
trees, how many? I cannot be sure. There will be days of sorrow without any cure. Well, so many days of sorrow yet to be endured. But I will get along. I will get along well enough. And I will get along. I could be strong. I could be tough. But I will get along. I will get along in my way. Every time. Every time.